something coming at me, like, I don't know, something simple like a sore throat or a runny nose, or I don't say, God, will you heal me? I say, Lord, I don't want this. I'm not having it in my life. So I declare from my spirit man that I am going to be well. Yeah. And it's just a different way of praying. But when you know you've got that authority within your spirit, nothing is impossible. It really does change the way you pray and the way you attack things and the way you approach things. And we know that we go through tests, and John said yesterday about that they're supposed to bring us to a place of permanent blessing where we've learned something through the trial. I don't believe as believers, you know, we sang there as well. I'm not preaching, John's coming now. We sang there as well that God's got the power to save. And I was just thinking, what an amazing thing he's done. We are all, if you're born again, we're going to heaven. Heaven that none of us have seen, I don't think. You may have had a vision of it, I don't know. But not many people have. We have no idea what's coming. But God did that. He did that. So if he can do that cosmic thing, he can sort us out, can't he? He's given us the power within to face whatever's coming. And I'm not going to keep saying I said this yesterday. If I said it yesterday, I know I said it yesterday, all right? But lots of you weren't here, so forgive us if I said it yesterday. We've had the privilege of being part of this church for a few years now. We've been a few years on the trot. And we're going to show you a video because that's the best way for us to show you what we've been doing in the last season. And when we first started this new journey into Africa, we didn't know what this video was going to look like. I couldn't have made this video 5 years ago. A, because we didn't know most of the people in it. And B, because we didn't know this is what we were going to be doing. And if you've got something in you that you know God is calling you to do, don't wait till you've got it all mapped out. This is the first 6 months. This is what the next 5 years are going to look like. And then the 10th year. If you're waiting to do all that, you're never going to do it. You've got to just take the first step. Even if you don't know what step 10 is going to look like. Step 10, let me tell you from experience, may look completely different to what you thought it was going to look like. Our job is to take step one and then see what God will do. Most of the people in this video, we didn't even know 5 years ago. That's the truth. So much has happened. The children that we said yes to all those years ago, where we didn't really know what we were doing, we just said, yes, we will take them. We will do what we can. God knew, and he gave us an amazing family who run this children's home called Treasures of Africa. Such a long, complicated story with red tape, with the government, with welfare. We didn't have a clue what we were doing, but we took step one. We took these children. We gave them a home, a roof, food, clothes, school. And now they've moved on and up into another whole new world that God has just done for us. If you're not already fully committed to your giving, it's very important to tithe to your local church, to give to your local church, but it's also good to have a Samaria to the ends of the earth, right? So if you haven't got one of those and you'd like to help us with our kids, we also pastor a church. We started a church from nothing, from the two of us. We help minister to trafficked girls, who you'll also see in this video. We can't show you their faces because we're not allowed to, but we get opportunity. And when I saw your notices today and I saw the Tanzanian flag on the front of it, I just thought, that's because we're here. That the focus today for you guys is Tanzania. By tomorrow, you'll have forgotten it, because that's life, isn't it? We all move on. But for today, we can just look at Africa. And if you don't support anything, I've got these magic forms. I used to have forms that I just used to hand out, and people used to take them away and put them in the handbag and then just forget. And that's all right. Life goes on, like I just said. So we came up with a magic formula. If you fill in the grey parts and give it back to me, I won't forget. Genius, isn't it? What a great idea. So there, down the front there, you can do that and talk to us about anything that you see in this video that you think, I'd like to know more about that. It's changed the way I approach life with my spirit, soul and body compartments, if you like.
Hello. God lives in us. It was more or less the theme yesterday. He really does live in us. If we're believers, he lives in us. God himself, I mean, that's just... It's so hard to believe, in a sense, that we don't live aware of it. Yeah. And we need to change that. Yeah. And I guess I'm going to go down a route that I went down last time because I believe it's the answer. So I may repeat some things. I literally could pick from hundreds of sermons. I'm a person who writes sermons in full. I've got so much information that I could just pick one out. But I try and wait on the Spirit to hear what he's saying and what he wants to say, obviously. So if you've heard some of the things I say today before, just say he's doing a series. Every so often he's here and he's doing a series. God lives in us, but it's not that obvious. When you're in an airport like in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, then it's pretty obvious who's who. You sit there, you know, if you sat for a few hours, you sit and you see lots of Muslims. And it's pretty obvious that they're Muslims because of what they're wearing. Sometimes you might see the odd priest. Sometimes you see teams who are wearing T-shirts, which is, you know, with Bethel Church, Neath, you know, tour of Tanzania, whatever, you know, which is not as advisable as it used to be, actually. But you see that. But usually you can't, what you can't tell is who's a Christian and who's not. Because we, you know, look at, if you look around this room, we're all dressed differently, aren't we? We, you know, maybe some have got crosses on, but perhaps not that obvious that they've got crosses on. But you can't see that the ones who are literally carrying God are not that obvious. It's something that's not that obvious. And because we're not meant to wear a uniform or meant to wear certain clothes, are we? We're meant to wear God. It should be obvious that he's in there because of our demeanor. A little funny story here. We were in Manchester recently, staying overnight in Manchester on our way somewhere. It was just an overnight stay. And as I often do when we're in a place, if I waken up early, which is normal for me, I'll go out wandering and praying. And I was in Deansgate area, Manchester, and I was praying big prayers, you know, and small prayers as well, but I was praying big prayers like, God, you know, save Manchester, you know, build your church, you know, praying for the churches in Manchester, all of that stuff. And also walking amongst a growing number of people who were sleeping in doorways. You know, if you're in cities, what I'm talking about, if you've traveled through cities, particularly early morning, you see a world rising out of shop doorways where people have slept rough, etc. And to my horror, I was out in trainers and had running trousers on. You know, nice running trousers, defined ones. But to my horror, I realized they're inside out. I got dressed in the dark, you see. So I'm praying mighty prayers over Manchester, wandering around in these tracksuit bottoms, running trousers, inside out. So a guy came up to me and said, "Here, mate, I want to help you. Here's £5 for a sleeping bag." You see, it's not that obvious, is it?
That's not true.
No, that last bit's not true. That was in my imagination. But I thought any minute somebody's going to come up and say, "Put that towards a sleeping bag." Romans 8:14 says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." In my view, and from my experience, I believe that the church has to move. I'm talking generally worldwide, certainly in our own areas here in Wales. The church has to move from being children of God, a position of being saved eternally, wonderful, we call ourselves children of God, to being sons of God, which is also true. It's a play on words, but I'm using this scripture to say, who are the sons of God? Who are what people make that category, which is in the same chapter, that says the whole of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed? It's waiting in eager expectation, the whole of creation. Who are the sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, those who live inside out. Those who live from the inside out. So what is blocking that? If we are spirit, soul, and body, what is blocking the effectiveness of our lives in relation to what Jesus said, where he said, "You will do more than you've seen me do"? Have you read that scripture? I mean, you know, it actually says in the Bible that if everything was written down that Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books. And he's saying to you and to me, here in Neath today, that you will do more than you've seen me doing. Well, where's the evidence, I would say? Now, I've spent years looking for the evidence of the Christian life that can be effective at the level that Jesus and the scripture promises that we can be. And we have to move to that. You know, I could give statistics today that even the most hopeful among us would leave here feeling, ooh, we've got problems. We've got problems in our nation. We've got problems with what the church will look like in 20, 30 years. We need to find some answers. You know, if you're aware of South Korea, you've probably heard a name called Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, or David Yonggi Cho, changed his name over the years, grew the biggest church in the world. South Korea has millions of Christians. But do you know what? They've got a problem. You know what the problem is? The young generation are rejecting it. The young generation are starting to reject the kind of results of the move of God that's taking place in the last century up to today. He built a church that was one church that was nearly a million people. One church, a million people. They had their own newspaper, daily newspaper, affected government levels, all of that stuff. Now, what are we missing if we're missing something? If I could give you an answer today, but it was difficult to do, would you still want the answer? Huh? If it means you've got to change your life, would you still want the answer? Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a promise, and I certainly gave you this promise before. It's a scriptural promise. It's not mine. It's John 15:7. If you have a Bible, turn there, please. When sons of God begin to rise, we're going to see an apostolic reformation. I believe it with all my heart. And apostleship will not be defined by a title. It will be defined by the level of love such a person is willing to give in terms of time to Bible, time in the Word of God, and time in prayer. That's going to be what denotes such people. They'll be very much Word people, more than normal, and prayer people. And that's what happened, as we know, in Acts 6. And they terrorized the heavenlies. They terrorized the heavenlies to such a degree that if you like, those who were down the line in terms of experience and maturity were doing extraordinary miracles because they terrorized the heavenlies. I think I said yesterday, this is not a tug of war with an enemy who's as strong as we are. He was completely defeated at Calvary. If you like, dragged through the streets, shown up, embarrassed, defeated 100%. He hasn't had a recovery. Come on now. He hasn't had a rebirth. So we need to understand certain things. He cannot defeat you because of his strength. He can only defeat you because of your weakness. There's the truth of that. John 15:7 says this, doesn't it? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, it will be given to you. Ask whatever you want, it will be given to you. It will be done for you. You know, different versions change it a little bit. One version says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. Did he mean that? Did he mean it? Is he a liar?
No.
Jesus said those words. Is he a liar? Can we agree then, if we read that and say, we believe he meant that, where is it? Where's the evidence? Please understand, I'm not picking on us. I'm looking for this myself. I'm trying to find levels where I am confident to go into a situation and change it, because he lives in me and I'm aware that he lives in me. I also live there and I can get in the way. You know, my mind, my will and my emotions absolutely get in the way, and therein lies our problem. He's in, but he can't often get out, because the devil knows how to deceive us and weaken us from our position of strength. And it's about the heart. He's a master. He's an absolute master. And he knows it's very difficult to love somebody that you're struggling to love. Yet he also knows that it's a command from God that we love at that level. So when we read Matthew 28 and we read the Great Commission, we often stop too early. Go into all the world, you know, and baptize people in the name, we stop there. What it says after, to me, is the most important part. It says this: teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey. So a person is meant to get saved from the Apostle Paul's teaching in Ephesians 3, get rooted and established in agape love. And having been rooted and established in agape love, you will go to a place in love that surpasses knowledge, meaning that you can operate off revelation knowledge in daily life as well as in spiritual life. And then God will do more than you ask or imagine. Anybody hoping he'll do more than you've asked or imagined? I've asked a lot. I'm a man of prayer, so I ask a lot. Most of it's for other people, but I, you know, for my own life as well, my family, my kid life, these kids, this ministry, because we started it from nothing. So believe you me, if you start something from nothing, you go down the line of prayer. So to be rooted and established in love, then to understand the emphasis that God places on it, and he places an emphasis on it because he is love, he is agape. Scripture says it's God is agape, and he wants you to be loved at that level. So he commands people to love you at that level. It's for you and it's for me. The commands are for people's benefits, not to deny us life. You know, we think, the command, you know, that very word. I know, even just looking around, there's at least three guys in here who are in uniform. I was in uniform myself, so I know what a command is, and I guess, you know, those are Stuart, others here, I guess you know what it's like to be under command. At least when we're in training, we can't just do our own thing. We're under command. So he says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you for their benefit. Why? Because if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. But you've got to remain. There's a clause. There's a clause. And remaining is not just attending church. Remaining is a heart thing. And I repeat again something from yesterday, which I'm so glad about. He doesn't mean you've got to be perfect. He means you've got to be consistent. Yeah. Hallelujah. I couldn't do it if it wasn't that way, could you? But I've learned this. I've learned the importance of it. Don't be carrying people today in your heart who hurt you 10 years ago. Yeah. They're too heavy. Yes. They're too heavy. Don't do it. You know, I don't mean that glibly. Goodness me, we've all had to fight this, haven't we, where they won't leave. They're camping out. You know, I wish they'd go, but they won't leave. They're in there. And I thought they'd gone, and they've come back. Have you had that one? If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. Why is the Church of Jesus Christ in our world not living at that level? Because we've been deceived. Because that's not the important thing. We've been pressed in the charismatic church for years. So our soul camp teaching is based on a word we got from God that the soul of the charismatic church must come in line with the spirit of the charismatic church. Because another thing we've allowed is that if somebody's got a ministry, we've allowed them to have a bad character and still have the platform. Because they can succeed. They can grow churches, etc. That's ended. I believe that. I really believe that's ended. I believe God is saying, you've had tasters. You know, the charismatic church has had great tasters. If you look around the world, certain moves of God. But they were tasters of what you can have if you take my word seriously on the matter of love. And it's agape love. So we have to ask a question. If God is saying to us, you can have what you want, amen. You know, that you don't even need to get to the selfish part there, do you? What about this? What about our eight-week-old grandson? What am I going to pray there? What do I want? I want him to know the Lord, obviously. I want him to be safe. I want him to grow up in a good environment. I want that. What do I want for my 27-year-old son as a youth pastor? I want his marriage to be strong. You know, when he has kids, I want his kids to be healthy and strong. Lord, you know, there's a list a mile long. You said I could have what I want. What do I want for my daughter who's just given birth? Similar lines. I haven't gone very far, have I? I haven't even started saying, God, I wouldn't mind you reviving wills. Revive to what? Numbers? How many you got? How many what? How many people, we usually think, how many come on a Sunday, don't we? How many you got now? Pastors dread it. I don't know if you do, Ian. Particularly if you got less than the last time they asked you. It's terrible. Oh, dear, it's terrible. You know, you're walking like the big man. You know, going well. How many you got now? Dreaded question. Well, on a good day. On a good day, you know, so many. And we did have a good day once. Oh, it's a terrible thing. It's great when you've added 50. My goodness, you know, don't you know who I am? I'm the bees and knees. We live our lives like that. How ridiculous. That's how pastors live their lives often. You know, three people saved on a Sunday, but this family didn't come, and they didn't smile. So you're driving home, and, it's great, we got people saved today. Where was so-and-so? They haven't been for 2 weeks now. You know, I think they've gone off me. They used to smile and say, oh, they don't even speak to me now. It's the truth. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. It's about connection. It's about spiritual connection and how easy it is for the enemy to disconnect us. Because that happens in the heart. And we kind of picture the heart as the in-between. It's not necessarily theologically correct, but to try and understand this, because we know that Scripture says in Proverbs, above all, meaning the number one priority, is to guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. What life? The Zoe life. The life of God that's in you comes through you. You know, and we absolutely understand, and again, I'm repeating something here, of our theology and our singing, come again, Lord. You know, send your spirit, Lord. Send your fire, Lord. But we also need to balance it with, he's already here. We release it. We release it. We release it. Evan Roberts released it in 1904. He released the life that was within him. It's not new. The disciple Peter released life to such a degree his shadow was healing people. Where did it come from? What happened on the transfiguration? When you read what happened to Jesus the man, he was so brilliantly white. It wasn't from outside, it was from inside. So the enemy knows, stop them loving. Make them bitter. Hurt them. Get these words out of the mouth. I could never forgive that. And then we go to him with our backstage needs in terms of, Lord, if the people knew I'd done that, Lord, you know, how could I still think like that when I've been a Christian for so long? Lord, how could I be tempted in that way? How could I give in to that temptation? I'm sorry, Lord. And yet we're saying, can't forgive you. You hurt me once. You didn't give me the position that I desired. You know, if it's a structural thing. So how do we remain is the next question. Now you know this, but I'm reminding you, or I'm doing a series. Because you don't have to look far. Verse 10 tells us how to remain. God doesn't ask us or give us that promise and then say, but, you know, you're not going to know how to do it. It's a mystery. No, verse 10. What does it say in verse 10? Yeah, boil it down to if you keep my commands. That's how we remain. So the next question is it 613 we have to keep then, Lord? The Old Testament stuff. Do we have to keep that? That's the next question, isn't it? Excuse me a second, guys. Sorry about that. I'll strike. No. We go down to verse 12, and then we find out what he means by that. If you've got a Bible, I want you to note something and never forget it. Because it changes from commands now to command one. It moves from pure plural to singular. And the singular one is this church. You must love one another as I have loved you. There's the clause. We say we do love. We love at a nice human level. You know, we're better than the world. We look after people. We do things for the poor. We look after orphans. We look after trafficked people. We get involved in people's lives. He doesn't really mean that. Of course, we know that's right. What he means is you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested because your greatest evangelistic tool is this. The world will know that you belong to me by the agape love you have for one another. It needs to be worked at. The world will know. Why? Because the world can't do it. Nobody can, because you have to have God's love in you to pull this off. You have to have his love in you to pull it off. Now, if you understand this, in John 15:7, if you know anything about Greek and the use of words, because you know in Hebrew, for a start, word and thing are the same word. Word and thing. It's the same word in Hebrew for those two. So we know that if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you can have whatever you want. It will be done for you. Ask for whatever you want, it will be done for you. The second word there is rhema. It's rhema. It's rhema, which is the spoken word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, in John 1, is logos. Logos, the idea behind creation, the very essence of God in his fullness, the logos, in the beginning. In Greek it's this. I don't know much Greek, but I know this. En arche en o logos kai o logos on proston theon. In the architecture of the world, the logos was there, and the logos was God. So we know that God created, and he created through Jesus. So in John 15:7, we know the word there is translated rhema, the spoken word of God, which is, of course, the word used for the sword of the Spirit. Our only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Let me tell you how I once did this. If you've heard this, you may have heard it. We had an irate guy next to our church in Porth. He was a Polish guy, and he was terrible. Shouted at us, too noisy, you know. And this day he phoned me up. It was before mobiles, but he phoned me up in my office in the church, and he started screaming and shouting down. We'd had a revival meeting the night before. Whatever, we'd had something anyway. It was noisy. Using foul language, did it? I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm not taking this. I'll come round now." It was literally next door, so I went round. I knocked on his door, and as the door opened, he stood with an iron bar like this. If I'd have resisted, you know, a split second to think, if I'd have resisted, it would have broke my arm, I guess, you know, it would have hurt anyway. Automatically, and this is years ago, before I even understood as I understand now, automatically I said this: in Jesus' name, put that down. And he went, "Oh, Jesus." He literally put it down. He became my friend. When I went to see him at Christmas, he offered me a sherry. I'd gone from iron bar to sherry. I stayed for three. He became my friend. You see, it's not unscriptural. The word has power. But listen, if you have fought this or doubted it or you know, I'm not from Texas. Do you know what I mean? There's been abuses of things like this. That's why I say I'm from Bradford, not Texas. But I believe it's true. That's my point here. But listen, I don't believe my words in my Yorkshire, still Yorkshire action, have any power at all, really. You know, they can do things at this level. The heart and the mouth have to be in union for words to have effect. That's the difference. The heart. Because when God's got your heart, you're not going to abuse anything, neither are you going to ask too selfishly. You know, I don't think God minds if you want to be blessed, do you? I don't think God minds blessing us. I think that's in the package, it's scriptural. So let's move to Mark 11 now. Mark 11, in line with this. So we found out that Jesus says in the Great Commission, you've got to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Well, we got a problem, haven't we? Because people won't like it. Huh? And we don't want to go to the next fraternal and tell them we've got less. I'm going to hold back in. I'm not going to empty your church. All right. I'm not going to do it. You won't be my friend if I do that, will you? Eh? You'll say, he's not coming again. Get him out there. He's not coming again, that lad. Yeah. Jesus, again, is speaking. He's just cursed a fig tree. How ridiculous is that? He's spoken to a tree and it died. Huh? It's Jesus who's done that. That's beyond science fiction, isn't it? You know, you can't do that, can you? Who's done that? You wouldn't even think of doing it, would you? I've been at sea. I've been on roaring seas. I've been in difficult situations at sea in my younger life. But I didn't speak to the wind. You know, I rode it out amongst a lot of others, of course. I didn't speak to it. Jesus did. Jesus did. Because he wasn't speaking to the wind, he was speaking to what was behind it. Hear me, folks. Hear the equipping of God for the saint here. Because he says this, after he's cursed the fig tree, the disciples said, Jesus, you know that tree you cursed yesterday? It's died. And Jesus says, if anyone has faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you know that's the smallest seed, he can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. If he doesn't doubt in his heart, he will have what he says. It doesn't say there pray, it says say. So when you stand praying, believe that you have received. This changes everything. Changes everything. You know, let me repeat something from yesterday. God is not mean. Do we think God's there going, not going to answer that one, not going to answer that one, not going to answer that one? Or could there be some resistance at this level that stops the answer getting through from our prayers? God's a good God. You know, he's not against us. He's not saying, no, 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 like a Gatling gun. No, 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 no. Oh, might answer that one. Come on. There's something wrong at our level. So when you stand praying, believe that you received and you shall have what you've prayed for. We've had to live like that. We don't live normal life. We don't live a normal life. Believe you me. This has only happened because 5 years ago we stepped out of a more normal life. As you know, we were pastors then. We were church people then. We were really believers in a faith situation. Carl, who's here this morning, many times we prayed in the past years ago and laid on the floor praying for Wales. Laid on maps of Wales. To seek God's blessing and recovery and restoration, all of those things. I didn't step out into having been nowhere, but we stepped into a new realm where we were more dependent on God answering prayer. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we couldn't do it if he didn't. Not we'll get by. No, we can't do this. We're finished if God doesn't answer. And at that point, you start to pray more, believe you me. And you get answers and you start to try and understand how you can get answers. So God is saying there, if you say to a mountain, now, you know, even in our Pentecostal circles, this is as if it isn't in the Bible, but it is. And we avoid it because it has been abused. And it's been used just for monetary, you know, monetary gains, if you like. And so we reject it. But it's Jesus' word, so we need to listen while saying, but I don't agree with that, but I do agree with that. Do you understand? Don't throw it away. Look at it from a heart point of view. Because we need this level, because there's a devil. The world it often is in a place that we can't do anything naturally to change it. Sometimes our lives are. So he's offering us a level of living that is absolutely apostolic for his church in the outworking. But look what the last verse says. If you're there, look what verse 25 says. He takes us back to John 15:7, if you like. But when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your heavenly Father will forgive you. Anyone. We want to argue. You don't mean them, do you? You know, I'll forgive them. Not them, surely, Lord. Anyone. Hold anything against anyone. Listen to the difference. You must have, because if somebody hurts you or does you a bad deal, you're going to have thoughts. You're not going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. They've wronged you. But what he's saying is, don't let it drop from your head to your heart and carry it around.
Yeah.
Deal with it before it gets there, or it will be with you for life, and the poison might even kill you. We haven't dealt with it, by and large, folks. We've put up with it. We've put up with our organists hating our pianists and nobody doing anything about it, and not even challenge it when we take communion. It's true, isn't it? I'm saying things that are true here. So we haven't had what we could have, but I believe God wants us to have. Because they're issues of the heart. They're deep, deep issues of the heart. And the choices. And I was sat there. I wasn't even going to preach this today. I mean, I haven't even gone to my notes. But I know God wants to say it. And I know that you know, we have a brief chance when we come into churches to challenge at this level. It's a big challenge. I could have just done something to bless you. It's a challenge because I want you to walk away with something lasting that will change your life. Because he meant it. He meant it. He meant it, and we need voices to tell us he actually meant this. You've got to, if you want to live at a certain level, then you have to deal with these heart things. You have to. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love. So my prayer for you and for me today is this: choose love. Choose love. Not that you'll walk perfectly, but that you'll walk consistently. That when you fail, you'll deal with it quickly. When somebody does you a bad one, you'll deal with that quickly. And you will walk in confidence. Believe you me, you will have a good life. Not problem-free, but you'll be an overcomer.
Yes.
You will overcome. So choose love. Go back to the point, if necessary, where you let love go from a relationship, where you let love out of your life. Time's gone, hasn't it? I want to do one thing before we finish, maybe two. The round of speaking up is this, because I want us to pray. Please, please consider these scriptures. Not my words surrounding it. I've delivered just out of my heart, but I know they're true. I know from the life we live that they're true. I know they're true because this is Jesus speaking. It's not a self-help book, you know. It's not Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar's a good man. It's not Zig Ziglar. It's not Tony Robbins. This is Jesus telling us how we live above the situations of life that will definitely come our way. And if your heart is in the right place, if we are seeking to love at the commanded level, it has the power to resurrect anything in your life, yeah. Anything, yeah. from health issues to relationship issues to a financial change in your life, because God is who he says he is. His promises are true, and it's high time we challenge, why do we not see them then, Lord? Amen.
Yeah.
We need a revolution. Right, Ian, stand to your feet, please. Hope you don't mind. I'm not ordering you. You know that, my friend. I'm in the zone now. I'm in the zone. I believe, and some of this is known to me because we've chatted. Some of it, most of it's in my spirit. And I could, any church that's seeking to progress, I would believe God would want to say this, that he wants to increase the apostolic in the church. He wants to increase, and again, I'm not talking titles. Please understand, I'm talking ministry. I'm talking ministry that can overcome situations at church level, at individual level, that can advance at levels that we haven't yet seen or not seen in this generation in our country. Now, if you believe, and you know, I'm talking, well, you know, I guess anybody could come here, but if you are a part of the church in particular and you want to stand with Ian in this prayer, please come and just put your hand on him. Please come quickly for time's sake. For all of us, as I hand over, may I challenge all of us just to pray an internal prayer. An internal prayer. Oh, an internal prayer. Just to pray, I'm up for this, Lord. It's not an overnight thing, is it? But I'm up for it. I'm up for taking these things seriously and letting them have an outworking in my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I include myself in this. May we grow in love at levels that are God love, agape love. May the world see new examples of this in individuals, in churches. May the devil tremble. May he tremble. a word and spirit connection that will be devastating for darkness. In the name of Jesus, we rise. We rise. We rise. We rise. We rise. We rise. I must do this because God put it on my heart. Susan, who was here yesterday. Susan, where are you? You're there, aren't you? God wants to transform your life. Be willing to let him. He wants to transform your life. I know he's put that in my heart for you today. Just say yes, and it's not an overnight thing. We know that. He wants to do it. He loves you tenderly. He loves you tenderly, Susan. Just say yes to him. Don't worry about how this is going to happen. All you have to do is say yes. He will lead you. He will lead you in it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Yorkshire pudding isn't ready. Thank God for Yorkshire puddings. Don't get many in Tanzania. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. Thanks for giving us the time you give us, Ian, and the pulpit, etc. We're willing you on. We stand with you. This is not an act in any way, shape, or form. You know that. We stand with you. Rise, my brother. Over to you. God bless you, folks. Thank you again for your love, your support, and everything. Appreciate it. We love you. Thank you very much.